Let's see. Good morning. Good morning. Last week and the week before it kind of messed me up because I kept saying good morning and good day and it was evening. So I practiced and I practiced to say good morning. And so at least you guys can say it back to me. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Very good. Very good. I want to welcome you to our first meeting in 2017. The last time we met was on New Year's Eve. And, I know a number of people traveled during the holiday, and so they weren't here and kind of missed two very good services, I believe. You know, we had a lot of people in here coming in, and so if you're traveling, I want to welcome you back, and if you were here all along, I want to welcome you back once more. The last time we met, I gave you an index card, and today we're going to distribute some more index cards, but we gave you an index cards, and we said three things. We said three things when we gave you the index cards last week. We said this here. We said, number one, we wanted you to write down a prayer request on the index card. And so number one, write down a prayer request, like something that you'd want to see God showing up for you in 2017. Like, God, I really would love for you to do this. And then we said the second thing that we wanted you to write down was a desire for the new year. That we wanted you to write down that it's a desire for a person, a place, or things. So if there's somebody in your life, you say, God, I really need for you to show up in this person's life. God, they have some financial issues I need for you. God, I have a family member who is not saved and need to come to know Christ. Or I have this burden for us to get a building at PCC, that thing that you want. And so that was number two, a desire for the new year. And number three was very personal. Number three was an area that you want victory over in your personal life. So whereas the other two could be about somebody else, number three was really about an area that you want victory over in your personal life. And I said to you that we as a church, we're going to pray, and we as leaders, we're going to pray over these cards and pray for a breakthrough in 2017. So today, you're going to be given, in a few moments. Okay, just right on cue. Here's my lovely wife. Where's Donna? Come here, Donna. She doesn't know anything about this. Come here. Come up on stage here. I'm going to embarrass her. Come here, please. She has no idea. This is all impromptu, and I don't know what I'm doing either. So we're just going to figure this out. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? I was going to sing Stevie Wonder. So she's going to, by each row, she's going to hand out some cards. And you're going to hold on to these cards, and we're going to tell you what you're going to do with them in a little bit. It's different cards than last week. So if you do want us, though, to be included in that prayer, we're going to leave some cards up here by this box. And you can just fill out the cards and drop it in these boxes with these three things. But she's going to give you another card, and I'll tell you what you do in a little bit. All right? Sounds cool. Thank you. I was going to have her turn some letters like Vanna White. Anyway, before we go any further, let's just pray. Father, Lord, this topic that we want to talk about today is a weighty topic. It's a meaty topic. It's a topic that we don't talk about at church a whole lot. And Lord, I pray that this will be the start of a change in that. I pray that you'll just speak through me in a mighty way and let your words come forth and that your message be delivered clearly without any obstruction. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, we begin a new series that we call The Basics. And the basics is really about some fundamentals of our faith. And for the next 4 weeks, this week and the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the fundamentals of our faith and things that we need to develop in order to not make 2017 and beyond be like 2016 and before. And so we're going to be talking about prayer, and we're going to be talking about the importance of personal study and the importance of of personal devotion and quiet time, and we're going to be talking about why baptism and why communion. We're talking about some of those fundamentals of our faith, and really, it's really designed, the whole series is designed to not make your future be like your past. And I said last week that we tend to live life in a circle. And the circle goes something like this. We start out and we beginning of the year, we make a New Year's resolution. We are not going to eat as much. We're going to exercise more. We're going to not be angry as much. We're going to break our addictions and our bad habits. We're going to gain victory over our struggles. And we start off like, this is the year that we're doing it. And then comes Martin Luther King Day, and then Easter, and then summer, summer vacation, back to school, Thanksgiving, holiday season, and back to another new year. And when we look back, we see that we have the same bad habits. We have the same struggles. We have the same lack of victory in our lives. And the same thing over again. So we make another New Year's resolution, and we do that circle thing all over and all over again. And we come back again, and we do it all over again, and we keep saying, why is it that we have the same relationship issues? Why is it that we have the same burdens day over day, week over week, month over month, and year over year, and nothing seems to be changing, no matter how much we seem to be praying about it? And you may be praying and praying. I'm like, okay, this year, God, you're gonna break this addiction that I have, this thing that I'm doing that's like really messing me up. And maybe he's like, this year, my addiction to porn or my addiction to sex outside of the context of marriage, my addiction to smoking marijuana, my addiction to alcohol, this year is it going to be different? I'm praying really hard. Maybe this year, he said, this year is the year that my anger issue, when I get really upset and somebody really, really ticks me off. This year is the year I'm not going to punch through the walls or drive at 100 miles per hour down the Palmetto like I used to do. Maybe you're facing a difficult situation. Maybe you're in trouble. You're in financial trouble or some other trouble, and you need deliverance, and you can't see a way out, and you're just doing this, barely coming up for air, and you're struggling, you're coming up for air, and nothing you do can make it better. And prayer just doesn't seem to be helping. And you see, I can identify with this because I've been there. You see, I know firsthand what I'm talking about. And somebody may say, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to have it all together, and you're supposed to tell us by example that you have solved it all. And I'll tell you that I have my struggles too, and I have the things that these strongholds in my life that I just wish that I didn't have to deal with, but I keep coming back. And this year has been different. I believe that this year has been different. And the reason it would be different is because today I have good news for you. Have good news for all of us. And I was going to say, because I bring you good tidings of great joy. But today, I have the solution. I have the solution for you. And you don't have to like the solution. You know, it's kind of like when I was growing up, my dad had this cough syrup that we'd give us. Some of you guys may know it. If you're from the islands, it was called Buckley's. Buckley's cough syrup. I think it was like a placebo effect, because whenever you took it, you tasted so bad that your cough just went away. It's cough like, I can't take this anymore. So to the solution I'm giving today, you don't have to like it. As a matter of fact, most of you won't, but it works. It works. And I'm going to tell you that today, what I'm going to tell you is a guarantee for everything, because sometimes the Lord is doing something special in your life, and He's doing something, and he doesn't take it away. And just like we sang that first song, He's like, look, in this one, you're just going to have to go through that, and you're going to have to trust me on grace. But I believe that many times we don't have what we're looking for. We don't have the solution. We don't have the solution to our problems because we are not embracing the solution. And the solution that I want to tell you today can be summed up in one word. And that word is fasting. And I know what some of you are thinking, because I think it too. It's like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't have the discipline. Somebody told me recently that it's like, man, I'm too skinny. I don't want to lose any more weight. And some people are like, bring it on, because I want to lose all this weight. And some people are saying, maybe I'm diabetic. I can't do this. And other people are saying, coming up with all these reasons, and some of them are extremely legitimate reasons. Somebody maybe, I work outside with my hands and I need my energy. And legitimate reasons, and some reasons are just excuses. But I'm going to ask you a favor this morning. I'm going to ask that you stick with me. You stick with me till the end, and then at the end you can formulate an opinion. Okay? Okay? All right. So here we go. So the question is, why not prayer alone? Why should we fast? And there are really many reasons. The Bible talks about fasting a lot. It's over 70 times in the Bible. It talks about fasting over 30 times in the New Testament alone. And Jesus did it. He himself did it. And so did all the disciples. As a matter of fact, all the Bible characters did it as a regular habit that they did it. But the real answer to the question is why fasting is that sometimes, just sometimes, the breakthrough does not occur without fasting along with prayer. Prayer alone doesn't give you the breakthrough in some cases, but prayer with fasting does. And I'm really taking you through a teaching this morning on it, because I want this to be something that's a life characteristic of all of us here. Because I believe that it will make your future be not like your past. And so we're going to teach on this topic, and then in subsequent weeks and months and stuff, we may come back to pieces of it, but we're going to do some teaching this morning, so hang with me. You know, in the Bible, one of the eyewitnesses to Jesus, and he was an historian, and God inspired him to write down, tells about something that happened in a book that he wrote by his name, Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 17, a man brought his sick son to Jesus. He brought his son to Jesus out of desperation. He's like, Jesus, I don't know what to do. I tried everything. I've been to all the doctors. I've been everywhere, and my son can't get healed. I even went to your disciples, and I saw your disciples heal other people, and your disciples were not able to heal my son. And so Jesus looked, and he healed the man's son. And so the disciples were kind of a little bit miffed, and the disciples took Jesus aside privately. You can read it in Matthew 17 yourself. All right, I'm just telling the story. The disciples took him and said, Jesus, come here. I have a question for you. Why were we not able to heal this guy? Why were we able to get victory over all these other people, but we weren't able to heal this guy? And Jesus said this. This situation, this thing, right here, right now, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You see, all the time that they'd pray for somebody to be healed, and they'd be healed, and this particular time, nothing happened, and Jesus said, this does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And many times the breakthrough is right there. It's right at the edge. And Jesus is saying to us, he's like, I need for you to push a little bit more. A little bit more. And the breakthrough will come because this is only come through by prayer and fasting. And so I was thinking about this. I'm like, well, why? Because you know me. You guys know me over and over again. I just like to know why. And so I went looking for why did God say that we need to fast? And there's a specific reason, a very specific reason why we're called to fast. And we know this from Hebrews 4:12, that each human is made up of body, soul, and spirit. They're made of body, soul, and spirit. And so we have a body, we have a physical body, that when you die, that body is gone. And it rots and it's never to come back. That body is gone. But we also have a soul, and our soul is our personality. It's our emotions. It's our will. It's what makes us us. Right? So you take somebody else's personality and stick it in another body, you have a different person because a person is three parts. And so when you think of your soul, think about your mind, emotion, and will. And I want to tell you that the Bible uses soul and spirit and sometimes soul and body interchangeably. So you'll see that. But when you look at Hebrews 4:12, you see that there is three distinct parts. And so the third part is the spirit. And the spirit is the part that really communicates with the spirit world. It communicates with God. It's where God talks, and it's kind of where the devil talks. It talks through your spirit and talks to your body. But this is the part that can communicate back into the spirit world. And when you get saved, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, your spirit becomes 100% whole. Your spirit can never be unwhole when you accept Jesus Christ. And that's why it goes to heaven, because it becomes perfect and go to heaven. So even though your body is messed up and you have some messed up thoughts in your head and stuff like that, your spirit is made whole and goes to heaven. So your spirit is either 100% with Jesus or 0% with Jesus. There is no, man, my spirit is kind of half there. You either saved or you're not. You either going there or you're going to the other place that you don't want to go to, that we spoke about a few weeks ago. But many of us are not really balanced. You know, kind of look at that and you see that body, soul, and spirit. But many of us, we kind of look like this. Our spirit, we get saved and our spirit is like this. And our spirit man is much weaker than our physical man, which is our body man or a soul man. You know, like there's a song, I'm a soul man. So I'm going to call him your emotional man sometimes. So our spirit man is much, much tinier than our soul man or our body man. And so our strongholds really are caught up into what our physical body wants. I want more food. I want more sex. I want more whatever. Or in our emotional man, where it says that I'm depressed, let me go out and drink so I can feel better. Or I'm angry, so let me go out and live it out. And so many of us feed our body and our souls a whole lot more than we feed our spirits. And so our body and soul become so much stronger than our spirit man. And the series that we're dealing with is called the basics. The basics of our faith is to strengthen that spirit man. We want that spirit man to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger so that we can fight. But what fasting does, fasting has the opposite effect. Fasting shrinks the body man and the soul man. And when you pray, you're increasing the strength of the spirit man. And because really, at the end of the day, in order for you to break through your strongholds, your spirit has to be able to fight through. Because, folks, guess what? We are not fighting against body and soul enemies. We're not fighting against body and soul enemies. We're fighting against evil rulers. We're fighting against authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark realms, against evil spirits in heavenly places. If you want to win the battle over your physical man and your emotional man, You got to fight spirit with spirit. Let me give an example. As if in my body man, the weapons that I have in my body man and my soul man is a bow and arrow. But in the spirit man, in the spirit, the devil is coming at us with bazookas and M16s and AK-47s and magnums. And you have a bow and arrow, you're not going to be able to. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you build up that spirit man, and so you'll be able to fight against the wild devil. So what we want to accomplish today is this, is that your spirit man becomes strong. And when the devil tries to feed your body man and your soul man with all the stuff, all the strongholds, your spirit man can stand firm. And that's what we're talking about. Fasting shrinks the body man and the emotional man, the soul man. And prayer strengthens the spirit man. And that's the reason why God calls us a fast, because we have to fight spirit with spirit. And all throughout the Bible, people fasted. And they fast for many reasons. They fast all the time for personal reasons, and sometimes they fasted for health reasons, and we're probably not going to touch on that today. But they fasted for different lengths of time. They fasted in many different ways. They fasted individually. They fasted corporately. And so today, as I mentioned before, it's really we're going to be teaching today. Because you got to get some fundamentals, some basics to be able to live this out and to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there are really three types of fasts that we're going to be talking about. There's really three big types of fasts that we're going to talk about today. And everything, I believe, can be summed up in these three. It's a complete fast, the partial fast, and what I'm calling the emotional fast. And I'll talk about that in a second. So what's a complete fast? Well, a complete fast, there are two types. There's a standard. Standard fast is it's no food, right? And you just water only, right? So it's a standard fast. And then there's an absolute fast, which is no food or no water. Now, I want to pause here, and I want to be very clear. Sometimes people think that they need to go out and, like, I'm going to go for the gold. I'm going to go for 100%, and they'll say, I'm going to go because I want to show God how good I am, and I'm going to go for the absolute, the complete absolute fast. Let me tell you, in the Bible, there's only been very few specific occasions where God called people to do, and Jesus himself did it, but an absolute fast. So if you feel that you're being called to do that, I want you to really commit to prayer, and I want you to make sure that you're hearing from the Lord, because unless the Holy Spirit indwells you to do that, you will hurt yourself. So if you feel that you're called to do that, really kind of pray about it and do that, especially if it's for a long period of time. That's an absolute no water fast, because your body needs water, right? So I want to really just kind of pause and point it out. But, so you have this, and people did the standard fast, and they may do it for a day or whatever, you know, there's different lengths of time. But complete standard, complete absolute. But there's also a second time, right, that's the partial fast. So complete, partial, and emotional. In a partial fast, it's not a full complete fast. One way of doing it is intermittent. And intermittent fast, you give up a meal for the day, or two meals for the day, right? And or you may eat during a small portion of the window. Says I'm only going to eat between 1 and 6 p.m. for the day. Or you may say, the Jewish people practice this all the time, and Muslim people practice this during the month of Ramadan. It's a sunrise to sundown, so they can eat any time before the sun is up, or any time after the sun is down. So those are types of intermittent fast. You're varying the different, skipping meals, the time of day, and really what it involves is you start out at the beginning and says, God, I'm making a commitment to do this because I'm trying to strengthen the spirit man, and I want you to convict me. And sometimes the amount of sacrifice is really dependent on the burden that the Lord has laid on you, or the stronghold that's in your life. So that's part one of a partial fast. But the other part is really what I call a selective fast. It is not skipping meals, rather it is selecting foods within a particular meal. And, you know, so there are different ways of doing it. You know, so you can restrict food or drink categories. like, if you have a burden, if you love, and it just ministers to your body, and no meal feels complete without some hard-o bread, for instance. No matter what else you eat, you can have the biggest Thanksgiving dinner, but unless you get a slice of yummy bread that goes with it, it doesn't feel complete. And you cut that out and says for the next 40 days or whatever, that is a type of a selective fast because you're cutting out something that ministers to your body, that your body craves over and over and over again with some cocoa. But the other way of doing that is really, and it's really popularized these days because of the health benefits, but also the spiritual benefits, is called the Daniel fast. And Daniel did, Daniel fasted all the time. We read the book of Daniel. He fasted all the time. In Daniel 1, he did a fast, Daniel 1, 12 and 13, I believe it is. He did a fast where he just did veggies and water. And whenever Daniel wanted to get to understand what God was saying, to get clear direction in your life, he went and he did a fast. And so Daniel 1, 12 was just veggies and water only. And he could eat as much veggies and drink as much water as he wanted to, but that was it. In Daniel 10:3, he did another fast, which people, when they do the Daniel fast now, that's kind of what they do. And here's what he didn't eat. He said this. He said, at that time, I had eaten no rich food or no choice food, some no select food, as some version says. He also had no meat or wine crossed his lips. He had no alcohol, he had no meat, and he had no choice foods. And people are rich foods, and people have debated what that means. But the reality is that when you kind of go back, I'll just kind of break it down, right? It's no meats, no sweets, and no breads. It's fruits, veggies, and things grown from seeds or nuts, right? And there are different variations of it. And it's really a really good fast to do. And every one of these that I'm telling you, there are people here in our midst who have done it. And after church, if you're interested in knowing more, which I hope you are, I'll point to these people who are living this out and can tell you their personal testimony of the benefits, the spiritual benefits, as well as a byproduct, the health benefits. I'm talking about the spiritual benefits this morning. So we have the complete fast, we have the partial fast, and then there's something else that I'm going to talk about. It's called what I call the emotional fast. See, I talked about we are body, soul, and spirit. And sometimes our body is good. We look good. We feel good about our bodies. We look in the mirror, we're like, this is a perfect specimen of what a human being should look like. You turn to the side and you do like those bodybuilders and you do this. You know, that kind of stuff there. And you look at you, says, I look good. And there was a song back in the day, you know, it says, the men all pause when I walk into the room. So the woman, like, you know, like, somebody slapped me because I know I'd be looking good. It's kind of funny because I'm seeing the people who are laughing. I'm like, yeah, I know the partiers in our midst back in the day. But your issue may be an emotional issue that there's something that just ministers to you that, you know, like, maybe I'm addicted to social media. I can't get enough. I'm always on Twitter. I'm always on Facebook. People can't talk to me. It's just there. And when I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I think about is what happened in my newsfeed. And you don't think about what happens and what's happening and what God wants you to do. And so you don't turn, and you've in essence made it an idol. And so an emotional fast is something that ministers to your souls, that makes you feel good. And sometimes we just need to fast from that. And Daniel gave an example of that. Daniel said this here. He said, in the same verse, he says he used no fragrant oils or lotions until 3 weeks had passed. And oils was one of those things that made him a person like feel good, you know, they lather up, put on cologne, and they felt really good, kind of ministered to their soul and kind of how they're, and I was like, I didn't do that. And we see examples like in 1 Corinthians 7 where husband and wives sometimes are called, they feel a call to say, we're going to abstain from sex for a period of time that we can devote ourselves to prayer. So if you say that, hey, I'm diabetic or whatever, he's like, okay, well, maybe you and your wife can mutually agree that we're going to fast from sex for a period of time so we can devote ourselves to prayer. So that's kind of what I mean when I say an emotional fast. And we see not only the different type of fast, but we also see where people fasted for different periods of time. And all throughout the Bible, we see times that looks like this, right? So when I look through a number of fasts that I just kept going fast by fast by fast, what I saw was this. I normally saw a one-day fast, a three-day, seven-day, 10-day, 21, or 40-day fast. I don't think the issue is really how much per se as what God is calling you to do and what you're feeling within your spirit, but that's what people in the Bible tend to do based on what we have read the Bible. And you know, and last week we got these cards and we put them in this box. And the box is filled with all these cards. And I was reading through them and kind of categorizing them. I saw the same strongholds kept coming up over and over again. My finances are a mess. My kid is going off and I don't know what to do. My relationship with my wife or my husband is a mess. And I see we're burdened for this church and having this church maximize its potential. And the list goes on of things that people are burdened for and strongholds that they've been praying for. And I was thinking about that. This came back to me. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And folks, we don't want to do this, right? Because it's hard, it's difficult, and I love hard old bread. I don't want to give up hard old bread, and I'm picking on hard old bread, but you kind of get the point. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The question is, what do we want more? Do we want relief from these things that are just burdening us? And so that 2017 and beyond will not be like 2016 and before. As such, today, I'm calling us, each and every person here, to a corporate fast. But this one is going to be different. See, most corporate fasts is that the leader says, we have this problem as a community, and I want everybody to fast around this. Well, today, I'm saying that I want us to all fast about our individual burden, starting this week, that either we're going to do 1, 3, 7, 10, 21, because this box, some of these kinds only go out by prayer and fasting. So, I'm asking you, what's the biggest burden that you have? What's the biggest burden that you have? And right here, right now, I'm just going to ask you to pause and write it down on those cards that you have. And if you don't have a card or you don't have a pen, I want you to type it into your phone, into your notes section. Because unless you write it down, it doesn't become real. I'm not going to collect it. This is for you. What is the single biggest burden that you have that you want God to deliver for you in 2017 and beyond? Take a moment and think about that and write it down. Really would encourage everybody. Maybe you want to just do a short prayer and says, God, what would you have me write down as my biggest burden? What decision do I need to make? And I need your direction. What emotional thing is anger or an addiction that I have that I need a burden on? What burden do I have for this church that I want to write down? What burden do I have for a family member? Whatever it is. Because in every case where people fasted, they fasted for a specific thing. They had a specific thing in mind. And you know, as you're writing, I just kind of want to give you some thoughts. And some of you, some of us have some gods in our life that we need to get rid of. Some things that we don't want to give up. And the fact is that we enjoy it so much that we don't even want to pray about it anymore because it's just so much fun. It's just so good. And we don't want to give it up. And God speaks to us through our conscience, but we've enjoyed putting this thing before God so much that God has really stopped talking to us about it. It may be sex outside of the context of marriage. And we're doing it and we're like, we're not even bothered about it anymore because God has stopped talking to us about it. And you know, there's a story in 1 Samuel. And in Samuel's predecessor was a man named Eli. And Israel had gotten so, you know, kind of put all these gods before God that Israel was in a mess. And Eli was not a very good leader, and he didn't bring the people back and point them back to him. And then Samuel came over. The Bible tells us that in 1 Samuel, I believe it is 4, he said, the word of God to them was rare in those days. In other words, God didn't really speak to them that much anymore. And then Samuel comes on the scene. And Samuel says, look, we've put a bunch of things before God, and we need God to come back and start talking to us again. And then it goes on a little bit later, and then the Philistines started to gather around them in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And they're right there, and they had to put all these gods, and God had stopped talking to them, and they're like, God, we need to know what to do. And they're like in a bind, and Samuel's like, look, here's what I'm doing. I want you to do this. He said this. He says, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods, you put away the internet, the social media, the whatever foreign gods that you put, the sex, the drugs, and the rock and roll. If you put that away from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and if you do that and you serve Him only, He will deliver you. He said He would deliver you. They did that, and then they call a fast, and right then and there, they fasted for one day. One day. And the Lord began the deliverance from their mess. That one day, a one-day fast, started a transformation from seeking other gods to putting God first and getting back to the basics. And you know, there may be some of you right now who are worried about a situation. You're worried about a coming disaster. There's something that you see coming. You may be out of a job, and you've been out of a job for a few months, and the bills are piling up, and you're 1 month away from being homeless. And you see this coming disaster. You see your kids have some really bad friends. And you know, I'll tell you this, you are the average of all your friends. You are the average of all your friends. So if you want a higher average, you need to choose your friends carefully. And so you see your kids' friends and you're like really worried about where they're going. You see a coming disaster coming. Or maybe your spouse is acting different than he normally acts or she normally acts. There's some things that are not adding up. And you see it's heading and the communication is gone. And you guys are heading for this proverbial cliff that you guys always worry that I'm going to fall off the stage on. Then you see the disaster coming. Or maybe you're borderline on not being able to get into college because your SAT scores or your ACT scores is not good and your grades are not good and you're at the edge and there is that coming disaster. You see it coming. You know, your situation is not unique. Bible tells us of a prophet in the Old Testament, a guy named Ezra. And Ezra had a job to do. And he was going back to Jerusalem and he was taking all this precious stuff with him, his gold and silver. And he was going, but he knew he had to go through a place where there was bandits and thieves. And he saw the disaster coming. He's like, everybody that goes through this place gets robbed. And I'm going to get robbed too. And all the people with me are going to get robbed. And he saw the disaster coming. He saw it. It was coming. It didn't sneak up on him. He was going to head right into it. And so this is what Ezra said. In Ezra 8:21, he said this. He gave orders to everybody to fast and to humble themselves before God. And we prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us on our children, on our goods, as we traveled. And then he went on to say, so we fasted. And we earnestly prayed, because fasting by itself is just a diet. We fasted and we earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us. And he heard our prayer. And God is saying to you right now, you have a disaster coming. And you can see it. You see it coming. He's like, look. I have the solution right here. All you need to do is reach out and fast and earnestly pray, and I will hear and I will deliver you. And while we're thinking about it and writing on this, I want to share one last thing with you. And then we sing and I give some final instructions. I want to tell you about Daniel. And Daniel is not a prophet. Whenever Daniel, as I mentioned before, had any major decisions to make, whenever he needed direction, whenever he needed a vision for the future, whenever he needed to interpret something that happened around him, Daniel fasted. And you know, we see that in Daniel 1 and Daniel 9. And in Daniel 10, Daniel was doing a fast. He was doing his own fast. He was doing a Daniel fast about the future. And day in, day out, he was eating no rich foods, no meat, sweets, and breads. So he was eating no rich foods, no meats, no alcohol. And he's praying. Day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. Day four, nothing. Day five, nothing. Day six, nothing. Going up and going up and going up and going up. Day 21. 3 weeks. And then, in a vision, he got his answer. Here's what it says, and you can read in Daniel 10. It's long, so I didn't put it on the screen. It says, in a vision, an angel told him that God heard his prayer from day one. Not day 21. God heard his prayer from day one. And God dispatched an angel to deliver the answer, the vision that Daniel needed. But the angel was held up in a spiritual battle for 21 days. That the devil was fighting him with his army, was fighting to not deliver the answer to the prayer that Daniel was asking for. I don't know if you understand what was happening. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits. And those evil spirits were hampering that angel. And when Daniel was praying and fasting, God heard, and God's like, I got to get Daniel his answer. And God not only dispatched another angel, he dispatched Michael, which is one of the archangels. He's like, I'm sending in the big guns because Daniel is faithfully praying and doing his Daniel fast. And come, I'm sending the big guns. And he's sending Michael. And bam, day 22, Daniel had his answer for his vision. And you know, folks, God may be burdening you to pray for something. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you're not seeing it because there's a spiritual warfare going on. And there's some devil saying, I don't want him or her to be successful. I don't want them to, because if they get the breakthrough in here, they're going to be unstoppable. And so the devil is dispatching all these hosts of demons to like stop the message coming through. And God's like, look, I'm ready. I'm ready to send in Michael. I'm ready to send in Gabriel. I'm ready to send in a whole host of angels. I just need to know if you're serious. If you're really serious. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want the breakthrough? And God may be burdening you right now to pray and fast until the answer comes. There's a guy that we know, his name is Paul Morris. He actually goes by the name The Real Paul Morris. I wonder how many Paul Morrises they are for this one to be the real one. He calls it push. Pray until something happens. Sometimes we need to pray and do a fast until something happens. And maybe there are some of us right now who need direction. We need a vision for our life. We have a major decision to make. And God is calling you to do that. So I'll ask you to write it down. What is the biggest burden that you have? Write it on your index cards. Write it in your phone. And I'm calling each person here to do either a complete, partial, or emotional fast, because I believe every one of us, through what I've explained, could start. And over time, God will build your faith into going into more and more deeper commitment. But I want you right now, says God, what would you have me do? A 1, 3, 7, 10, 21, 40, or something in between. What do you want me to give up, God? To shrink the things that are most important to me as I build my spirit man. 2017 can be different. It starts with us praying. It starts with us, first of all, admitting that we have some problems. It starts with us saying some of them are bigger than others. But it doesn't end there. It ends with us laying it down and says, God, I'm willing to shrink the physical man and the soul man, the emotional man, as we do the basics and grow the spirit man. Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. And sometimes this kind does not go out except through pray and fasting. As the praise team comes and we pray, Here's it in a nutshell, 4 things that I'm going to ask you to do. First one, I already asked you, write down your single biggest burden. Number 2, this week, begin a 1, 3, 7, 10, or 21, or 40-day fast. If it's a longer fast, I'd strongly encourage you to do a partial fast. But pray earnestly. Number 3, pray earnestly over the burden. And then number four is something that I'm going to ask you on Monday as we get together for prayer at 9 o'clock. Ask all you guys to join on the prayer line. We're going to pray over some of these things in these boxes. But I would like to have some more prayer calls during the week. A line open for anybody who wants to come on. And we'll open a line for like 10 minutes. If nobody comes on, then we'll close it. But if you want to host, and I would ask you, if you want to host a call, just any one day during the week, we'll provide the host number. Just get on the call and help to facilitate somebody coming on for prayer. Just kind of think about that. If God's like burdening you, says, yeah, I'm willing to host a line. All you got to do is just dial the number, open a line, and help somebody through one of their spiritual burdens. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the words that you have given me, Lord, will resonate. But it will not only resonate, but it will divide soul and spirit and body and minister to where it needs to minister to. Lord, I pray that this year will be different. And if there's anybody here who doesn't know you as your real Savior, that is ground base. That's step one. That they'll just say this prayer. It says, Jesus, come into my heart. Take control of my life. Lord, your word says that when they do that, they're immediately, their spirit gets transformed from not being of God's to immediately being perfected in your sight. Lord, I pray that each one of us will look at 2017 and beyond and says, I will not go back because I've been changed through the things that we've learned this morning. And right now, today is the moment where we'll be saying, the change began. In Jesus' name, amen.